You're listening to the Carnegie Tsinghua China and the World podcast, a series of conversations with Chinese and international experts on China's foreign policy, international role, and China's relations with the world, brought to you from the Carnegie Tsinghua Center, located in Beijing. I'm Paul Hanley, the director of the Carnegie Tsinghua Center, and I'll be your host. Today we're at Peking University, visiting Professor Wu Bingbing. Professor Wu is a research fellow at Peking University's Institute for International and Strategic Studies. He's the deputy director of Peking University's Department of Arabic Language and Culture and director of the university's Institute of Arab Islamic Studies. Dr. Wu participated in a panel at the second annual Carnegie Global Dialogue here in Beijing in October on China-Middle East relations. Today I'd like to give our listeners a sense of the discussion that took place at the Global Dialogue and continue that conversation here further. Dr. Wu, thank you very much for participating in our Carnegie Tsinghua podcast today.
Thank you. Yeah.
Let me start off by talking about the Middle East. Currently, the Middle East presents a number of crises and challenges to security and stability. These include a rise of ISIS, protracted conflict in Syria. We have the Iran nuclear negotiations taking place with a deadline very soon. What do these developments and the deteriorating security environment in the region mean for China? And what are China's primary interests in the region?
I think China have several interests in the region, including the stability and security in the region, the supply of energy, and also it's a very important market for China. Besides, there are a lot of Chinese working and living in the region. So I think, this deteriorating security situation is a big threat to all this interest. First, to the security and stability in the whole region. And then it can threaten the supply of energy to China and could make the oil price very high.
Yeah.
And also it will also threaten the security of the Chinese staff there. I mean, the staff of Chinese companies, and also I think it will hurt the Chinese efforts to, to help the region to develop its economy, because, more resources will be, used to this counter-terrorism efforts instead of, to be dedicated to economic development. And also more young people will be influenced by the ideology.
Mm-hmm.
So even you maybe can create more jobs, but these young people will not like to get these jobs. They will be influenced by that ideology. So I think all these Chinese core interests in this region have been influenced by the bad security situation in the region.
Yeah. One of the things you hear often by international observers is the dynamic between the U.S. dependence on energy from the Middle East going down at a time when Chinese dependence on energy from the Middle East is going up. And many talk about an enhanced role for China given that dynamic. Can you help the international audience understand how that dynamic is viewed here in China?
First, I think China is trying to diversify its sources of energy supply.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we signed a contract with Russia. We bought a lot of oil, not only from
Middle
East.
Big contract with Russia, the $400 billion gas contract, right.
From Central Asian countries also, right? Natural gas from Turkmenistan and oil from Kazakhstan.
I see.
Certainly from Middle East and African countries also. But also, from Latin America, but in the future, maybe, if U.S. wants to export its natural gas, shale gas or shale oil, China could be a very large buyer also for that. So China is trying to, really guarantee its energy security by diversifying, the the sources. Moreover, I think, for the U.S., even China still buy a lot of oil and natural gas from Middle East.
Right.
But still, see, Middle East is a supplier of oil energy to U.S. allies, including Japan, including South Korea, including European countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, for U.S., you have to have a presence in this region to, guarantee that, your allies could get this supply of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, for Chinese, we think in another way that, it's also a leverage for you. on China, because if China and India, these countries still buy a lot of energy from Middle East, and then U.S. you know has to have some influence on the supplier in the Middle East, so that you know it can be a kind of leverage for you. You will not give up, you know, your influence in the region. Mm. So this independency or dependency on Middle Eastern energy, you know, is not the number one calculation of U.S. policy in the region.
Mm. Let's talk about, if we can, Islamic terrorist extremism. Mm-hmm. At the Global Dialogue that you participated in, the Carnegie Global Dialogue, mm-hmm. experts on your panel talked about the rise of Islamic terrorist extremism as a consequence of decades of mm-hmm. Shia dominance. Mm-hmm. The disenfranchisement of the Sunnis and a large number of young, unemployed Muslims with access to modern technology. What impact does the rise of Islamic fundamentalism in the Middle East have on China's own domestic security? And what policy steps are Chinese leaders taking in response to that?
I think, you know, the indirect impact, you know, is more important. Indirect influence is more important. For example, first, the spread of ideology of extremism. Because, you know, you cannot have a limit or border, you know, of this ideology, so it can spread very fast on the internet, yeah, and still, you know, you can see the ISIL is very efficient and is a master, you know, to mm-hmm. produce this kind of propaganda. So I think, you know, maybe it will influence, you know, it has some influence in China. And still, I think it's during the last 2 years, there were more terrorist attacks in China. You can, you know, see that. So I think there is a kind of an inspiration. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people in China were inspired by the situation in the Middle East and also by the ideology. And also they can learn some method, you know, how to produce explosive, something like that, you know, on the internet. Mm-hmm. So this is indirect influence. Maybe some direct. We are worried also that some global jihadist fighters will come back to China mm-hmm. to organize some kind of attacks. But compared to indirect influence, you know, this till now is not very serious.
Mm-hmm. And based on that indirect threat, as you've described it, are Chinese leaders taking steps now mm-hmm. to deal with that? And if so, what steps are they taking?
I think, you know, you can see some efforts. First, you know, for the information, you know, we are trying to, on the TV you can see more and more programs, you know, to give an introduction to Xinjiang, to Chinese Muslims, you know, to show their history, tradition, and their life, to make the people know more, you know, on this, and to have more exchange and also understanding. I think this is a very important.
This is to enhance understanding of ethnic Han towards Xinjiang, the region of Xinjiang?
And also, I think, you know, to show to the people there that, you know, there is an interest, you know, among the mainstream media, among the mainstream society that, you know, to know more.
Mm-hmm. But this is directed mostly at regions within China, not the Middle East.
Yes, yeah.
Is there a way that China can deal with rising terrorist extremism in the Middle East so that it doesn't eventually impact China? Is there any thinking in that regard with respect to policies and approaches by the Chinese leadership?
Till now, as I know, you know, there's no such effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because, you know, it's not Chinese tradition, the principle that it's considered as a kind of intervention or interference, because we want to change, you know, their society, their religion, their tradition, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not a way that China wants to do.
So even if Chinese experts or Chinese leaders come to the conclusion mm-hmm. that if things get worse in mm-hmm. the Middle East mm-hmm. in terms of extremism and over time could have a huge impact on China, there's nothing that could be done now to influence that. Because of the long-standing policy of non-interference? Mm-hmm. Is that what I understand you to say?
Because, you know, we think that these countries, you know, have their own tradition, own culture. Mm-hmm. So this phenomenon, even extremism, you know, has its root in the society and the current situation, including economic situation. cultural situation, political situation. So, you know, it's a comprehensive, it has different dimensions. You know, how could you change their society and culture totally? By, you know, just to focus on extremism, maybe you cannot really remove it totally. So I think, you know, for example, for China, maybe we want to have a partnership with countries for development to create more jobs, to have a better economy, you know, and then, you know, to have a larger scale cultural exchange to know each other more, and to you know, reduce as much as possible the kind of, you know, distorting image to each other, something like that. You know, I think you can have only have long run, a comprehensive, multi-dimension solution instead of just to focus on one issue. So it's a more like a bilateral relationship instead of, you know, only focus on security issue or the threat of terrorism, extremism.
Although you described early on key interests that China has in the Middle East as security and stability, energy, those two interests are significantly affected by extremism. But what I hear you saying is, even though those security interests, priorities on the Chinese side are affected, there is still a hesitation for China to involve itself to bring greater stability so that the energy markets are not affected because of the issue of non-interference and because of the thought that interfering may not solve the problem. Is that the idea, that it may actually cause second and third order consequences or unintended consequences, or is it more because the long-standing policy is non-interference?
I think, you know, for China, we insist in this non-interference policy. So Chinese policy is that, you know, we really want security and stability. We want to, you know, make contributions, but how? I think first, we need a strong local government in these countries. And they're, if they're capable, you know, they should face their own problem, right? And secondly, I think we should help to establish a kind of, you know, regional arrangement, security arrangement, or regionalism, something like that. So reduce the tensions between different countries, reduce, you know, the tensions, you know, conflict, you know, in this region. So it will also help to solve the problem. And third level, I think, we seek cooperation between great powers, because great powers, if they have more common interests in this region, it will also reduce the tensions in this region. So I think China has dialogue on Middle East with U.S. and also had also dialogues with some European countries. We talked with, I think, Russia also. So I think on this all three levels, we can make some contribution to realize more stability. Although for short run, maybe we cannot achieve this goal, but for long run, we are trying to achieve that goal. This is one. And secondly, I said, we want to have a comprehensive, multi-dimensional solution. So we will do more on economic development in this region.
Let's talk about the third piece, the interaction between the great powers. Mm. There's been some acknowledgement in China of a mutual interest between the U.S. and China to combat ISIS and the spread of ISIS through Syria and Iraq and its attraction to foreign fighters. How does China see its role in fighting global terror? Would China ever be willing to join a U.S.-led coalition to degrade and destroy ISIS? And if so, how does China envision its role in that effort?
I think all countries, you know, have the responsibility to fight terrorism and extremism. No one country should, you know, give any space or support to this terrorism and extremism. It's an enemy to the people in the world. But for China, I think China highlights the role of UN, because only UN can offer the legitimacy of any military attacks and also other kind of movement or operations, you know, to fight terrorism. This is very important. And second, I think multilateralism is very important. Yeah, it's not a unilateral issue, you know. More countries to join this. So I think coalition, you know, is a good idea, because it will, you know, make more countries to be part of that effort. But for military operations, I think China cannot participate. Yeah, based on our tradition, based on our principle, because China is worried about this military intervention, especially, and also based on our lack of experience, and also based on, I think, some kind of distrust mm-hmm. between China and especially Western countries, I think, mm-hmm. because
So then, if putting Chinese boots on the ground in Iraq is not conceivable, what other type of cooperative efforts could the two sides, U.S. and China, and other powers make? How could China contribute? And could this potentially be an area of real common strategic interest between the U.S. and China that helps over time to improve the relationship? Is this an area that we should focus on, the U.S. and China, and building that cooperation?
Certainly, this cooperation on security in the Middle East is, I think, is very important. Mm-hmm. First, in UN, China will support resolutions to fight terrorism, extremism. Yeah, as long as the resolution is fair, I mean, do not be misused for other purposes. And also, secondly, I think China, China's companies, are still working in Iraq. This is a very important support for Iraqi economy, and it's also give confidence, maybe for the others that okay, Chinese company is still working there, and then it means that there is some security there, right? You needn't to just withdraw all your companies away. It will hurt Iraqi economy, and also we can offer humanitarian aid, but according to Chinese capability, we will offer a suitable amount we can offer. And some other things, I think, for example, to offer some training to security forces, something like that. China has done a lot in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. I think China can do the same in Iraq, mm-hmm. but not more.
Let me ask you, Dr. Wu, about your comment about the UN resolutions need to be fair mm-hmm. and they cannot be misused for other purposes. It's important, I think, to give international and American audience and understanding what you mean when you say that. There obviously is some sentiment in China that in the past resolutions have not been fair and have been used for other purposes. Are you referring to something specific there?
I think first, for us, I think the case of Libya and the resolution in 2011 in regard of Libya, was misused. Because, in the beginning, I think the resolution intends to reduce, the humanitarian crisis like that. But it has changed to airstrike against totally the then Libyan government and the Libyan leader, like that. So, but
Was this a surprise to China that the resolution would be used in that way?
I think for the people of China, when they watch the TV, for some half a year, airstrike and Libya war, it's a big surprise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think just look at the situation, current situation in Libya. I think the airstrike Libya war, really didn't play a positive role. I mean, to create a better situation.
So you think the airstrikes at the time were not what China had anticipated would be the result of the revolution, and the current situation can be used to justify that conclusion. Is that?
I think then many Chinese has expressed our concern of the result of the Libya war. And we predict that some kind of chaos would emerge after this, because an order, if it's broken, it's not so easy to be restored. Mm.
Your second point was a secure environment for companies that China could contribute to this, to convince multinational companies or other companies that not to leave Iraq. Mm. But of course, in order for them not to leave Iraq, they need to feel safe and secure. Mm. In order for them not to leave Iraq, they of course need to feel safe and secure. Mm. What? And then you also referred to Chinese potential efforts by China to train security forces in Iraq. Can you connect the two? What contributions would be possible on the Chinese side to help companies feel safe and secure in Iraq from a security standpoint. You know, you mentioned that putting Chinese boots on the ground might not be possible, but how could China contribute to the security effort?
I think for ensure that Chinese company can enjoy security in Iraq, for example, also two layers. First layer is that we did evacuate some Chinese from the region between Kurdistan and the southern part.
This is Chinese workers.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it means that you need a secure environment instead of just secure site. Yeah, because you cannot work in a secure site because terrorists can attack you anytime. Mm-hmm. So it means that at least in southern Iraq and in Kurdistan, I think they can offer a kind of secure environment. Our confidence is based on the reality, mm-hmm. right? And secondly, maybe even in this secure region, you still need security forces to protect. But more than that, I think security forces and policemen can offer services.
You're talking about Iraqi security forces.
Yeah. I mean that.
Is there a way China can contribute to enhancing the security environment? You talked about China could contribute with humanitarian aid. Mm. You talked about China can contribute economically. Mm. You talked about China could contribute under a UN mandate in certain ways. Mm. But you also talked about the importance of the security and stability so that companies can operate there. Is there a way China can contribute to enhancing security? And if there is there a way that the U.S. and China can work together on that security effort?
I think that's a little bit more difficult. Mm-hmm. First, I should say that for China, we have a vision of a comprehensive security, different dimensions, not only security of one company, security, security forces, military, against terrorism. You need, how to protect this security, you need more dimensions, right? People need job. Otherwise, jobless youth will go to participate or more potential, to participate this extremist organizations. So this is number one, different understanding. We think, only focus on the very narrow definition of security, you cannot guarantee this security. Mm-hmm. And secondly, still why we need cooperation between great powers? Because something we cannot do there. So still we think, U.S. Is playing very important role there. As U.S. always mentioned, you still wants to play the leading role in this region. So that means, you can play more and we can cooperate with you instead of, everything we should do hand in hand. But something you can do and something we can do. So mm-hmm. we do what we are capable to do. Mm.
That's very helpful in terms of understanding the Chinese perspective. Thank you very much, Professor Wu Bingbing. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah.
And we hope you will come back to the Carnegie Tsinghua Center and participate in our activities in the future.
It's my great honor and pleasure. Thank you very much.